pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we worship you. Appreciate this morning, Lord, and love you as much as we know how to love. And accept, Lord, your love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and we know except that comes by suffering and trials. We could not possibly love you, but we do love you with a measure. You've seen us through, Lord, so many difficult times. Now, Lord, we're on the verge of a complete victory, the breakthrough into eternality. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you'll never dim our eyes shall never be dim from it, Lord, or our hearing dim from it, but rather all we shall hear and see is this hour, Lord, we're in, that time and eternity have come together, Father. And therefore, we are a most peculiar people, a most elect people, and therefore nothing is impossible for you to do for us, and nothing's impossible for us to endure for you. That we are here, Lord, in this perfect union as never before, right back to a very beginning, which was glorious and which was to be eclipsed by a future glory, which would certainly be immortality. And here we are right at that very brink of it. We're standing in the midst of it, Lord, and we pray that we might be a people to appreciate it, understand it, love with all our hearts, stand with it, until it has its work out in our lives and we're presented to you. Also a glorious people without spot or wrinkle like you in your own image. These things we desire, and we thank you for them in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the greatest battle ever fought. So here we are then on this number three, the greatest battle ever fought. And from this message, we've clearly seen that man's greatest asset is also his greatest liability. And it is this particular element that's his liability and also his asset that separates him from all the rest of the animal kingdom. Man has the mental capacity to apprehend and assimilate and evaluate or judge and to act on whatever knowledge he gains by seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling. Above that, his two senses of hearing and seeing combined with speech makes it perfectly natural for him to learn by reading or hearing words that describe the visible but also the invisible. In other words, he can learn from others by their experience instead of going through his own. In other words, we simply all have the ability to have an add-on knowledge and an add-on experience through that knowledge without having to start back 6,000 years ago. Animals act by instinct, and they have an instinctual quality which gears them and helps them to live. We don't. We learn. Now, he has in his power the ability, that man has, to gain knowledge in a measured degree of all things natural and many things supernatural. And those are spiritual things. He can do this because he not only has a spirit in his body, but also a soul. Animals do not have souls, neither do animal spirits act like ours. They're simply not like ours. Now, these endowments make him the superior creature over all creation. But as wonderful as this is, there is a problem. And that problem is that all man knows is not necessarily working for his good, nor can he even make it work to his good. Ever since he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, both good and evil are present in every turn that he makes. His only hope, and yet they don't recognize this, of course, his only hope to straighten it out is that he receive a good knowledge from some source that supersedes all evil or detrimental knowledge from their sources, and he abide by the good, which of course we know to be the true and revealed Word of God. Now, it's not just the Word of God, it's the revealed Word of God. And revealed truly as God wanted to be. Plainly, his thought processes wherein knowledge and decision rest must become imbued and controlled by the Word of God, which he can hear or read, and then decide to accept it as a final judgment or reject it and take his or another judgment. And that's where Brother Branham said the great battle is. This constitutes the greatest battle that man can fight. It is the battle of the mind. This battle has been fought and won by many Christians. And we have the record over here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we read a few verses, such as 8 to 11. And Abraham, of course, is the more or less the type for the example. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, Abraham was already a rich man in the Ur of the Chaldees. He was a moon worshiper with his father. And evidently, he was of great repute from what we find in history. A tremendous individual. And God just said, now look, you're going to leave it all for what you don't know is ahead of you. You won't even know where you're going. And you're going to come right out now and go there because I've chosen you. Oh, holy mackerel. He said, no way. I got it too good here. Now, you can just see yourself sitting on your hands as I'm talking this way. You got us a good, some nice company. Perish the thought. Hey, this old boy is some character. I like it. He's got him pain in his guts. Unmitigated intestinal fortitude. And he went out, not knowing whither he was going. I did that once. You know something? Works. It works. If it works for this jerk, it'll work for you. I'm not kidding you. I'm not lying to you. I had no idea where I was really going. If I didn't get anything else, or I got a good wife there. That was worth stopping off for. That wasn't my inheritance either, but I picked up an inheritance. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. Now, that's puzzling. He was to get it later on. Now he's there, and he can't have it. And he's a stranger to it. Sounds familiar? If you're not a stranger to your senses in this land and all, in which we aren't at this point as we should be, we're not too much Abrahamish. We're Hamish, but not Abrahamish. We need to get straightened out in our thinking. Okay, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Sarah also herself received strength. Notice, through faith she got her strength. Faith is strengthening. Say it with me. Faith is strengthening. That's right. Faith is not debilitating. Faith is not doubting. Faith is not setting you back. Faith is putting you forward. Faith is strengthening. See, faith is strengthening. Because she received strength. Faith is strengthening. Sarah was strengthened by faith. Faith gave Sarah the elixir of life, the strengthener, and she was able to conceive seed, even be delivered when she was way past age, because she judged through the organ of judging, through the instrument of decision. Wouldn't it be nice to make some decisions this morning? Real decisions by faith. Not, oh, God, give me a better job. That's okay, honey. That's okay. I appreciate that. I want you to have a better job. And I trust you get a better job. And so you should have a better job. Everybody should have a better job. Let's face it. That's fine. God's not against progress. But this goes beyond the mundane. This goes to the richness of a spiritual, faith-filled life that takes in all channels. She judged him faithful, therefore sprang. Notice the energy, the dynamism, the results. Him as good as dead. She positively the same way. Look what came forth, like the stars shining in the heavens for multitude. And even down here in the ground, the mundane, like, you know, true elect, very elect, other elect, you know? New Jerusalem, pure bride, outside, stand to see, innumerable. In other words, there is no limit to this life which is not hip or raw, faith-oriented, to gimme, 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 watch, look what I got. Nope. This is the faith in the Word of God that brings forth what God wants in our lives, so that we are all pleasing unto Him with the spirit of rest and hope and glory upon our souls. We can be what God says. And we don't have to wait for the millennium. We can have a bit of millennium to go to the millennium in. Okay. This, of course, is what we saw in Romans 4 in detail, which we won't have to read now. But Paul, setting the rule in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, puts this a little bit for us to understand. Quite a bit, really. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, there's nothing in the flesh that you can rely upon or draw upon, even though in the flesh it is you are warring. See? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word flesh and carnal, same thing, carnus. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what does it do? Cast down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There is the powerful thing to be in our lives that we should seek God. As Brother Branham said, this is the greatest battle you and I will ever fight or anybody ever has fought. And you notice that Jesus Christ Himself resisted. He strove to the extent He shed blood. The pores dilated, the blood vessels broke, and there was blood upon the surface of His body because He fought Himself. And of course, He was fighting every one of us who were in Him. That was the trouble. He wasn't just fighting Himself. Come on, let's face it. He was fighting for every single one of us, every one of the seed, everyone who's represented. Everyone wasn't just represented. Everyone was just there. You know, there's a big difference between just represented. We've got some people in Congress who represent us, and I wish they weren't. I wish we were there. Because we, the people, have been sold down the river. We, the people, didn't tell them to do the things they're doing. We, the people, told them different, as any poll shows. So we were in Christ. A mess. Seed? Well, basically, pure, perfect little seed. Going to be encased by human bodies. Everything out here we fight, He already fought for us. The victory is done if we learn how to trust Him. Now, Brother Branham told how this was done. So we read a little bit over here to get back to where we want to start this morning. Or get to where we want to start. On page 15, paragraph 3 and 4, he says, now, there's where the battle begins right in your mind. Now, you remember, it's not Christian Science, mind over matter. For our minds, not like Christian Science said, it's not there, sin is not real, sickness is not real, death is not real. If it isn't, there's something too real here going on, because I can feel it. Nah, they're not right at all. Now, the mind accepts the life which is in the Word. And it's the Word of God that brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. In other words, the Word of God comes to life, not your thinking. Just your thought doesn't do it. That's true. But the Word of God brought in the channel of your thoughts is what does it. Now, that's where he said it rests. See, it's not thought as Christian Science makes it, mind over matter. No, that isn't it. It's Word over matter. Where is the Word? In your mind. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Well, your mind is controlled by, actually, down deep in the soul, where the wellspring of life is. But it's also in the mind that has the interplay with the brain to the rest of the life and the body that's in there. Now, your soul catches the Word of God. And that's the thing that's got life in it. It brings life into you. Had a note here. I might as well check it. Hebrews 11 and 13. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In other words, they accepted them as absolutely real, the way Abraham did, and were persuaded of them, notice the terminology, and embraced them, and they confessed them. Confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. I see the Word of God. I see my association. I see that it's mine. I see everything indicating, contrarywise to it, it's still mine. See? For they that say such things plainly declare that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful and kept in mind that which they came out of, or the conditions in the simple rules of faith applied in this church this morning, whatever problem is plaguing us, if we keep that in mind, we immediately turn from the prayer of faith we thought we uttered and did utter at that moment, right back to the condition. Now, I'm sorry. I'm doubly sorry because this is the toughest battle you and I will ever fight. I have fought it and refought it and lost it and fought it, sort of won it, and just about dropped dead over it. And I'm going to be honest, it's a tough one. Now, we have a quandary this morning put before us. We have a manifesto. We can go along or not go along. And if we go along, it's going to cost everything we got to get there. I'll be honest with you. But you know something? We're getting there. We're getting there, slowly but surely. They made opportunity. Those who keep in mind have opportunity to go right back to the thing they either got out of or they're trying to get out of. Look, when Brother Branham prayed for sick so many times, it was his gift of healing that absolutely brought healing to the deaf and to the dumb. I think there was one meeting up in the Northwest Territory that there were over 30 children out of a deaf and dumb school were instantly healed by Brother Branham's ministry, the power of God. Those parents let their kids go back to the deaf and dumb school. They became deaf and dumb again. It happened with me over here in Spencerville, Ohio. In those days, I used to discern. Not anymore. I could pick them right in the platform. So anyway, I knew there were some deaf kids in the audience, some deaf people, and I said, now, of the next one I'm going to pray for are the deaf. And so he hauls up these deaf and dumb kids. That was not my bargain to pray for deaf and dumb. But not it at all. Not that I'm being chicken now. But that's what God showed me. The deaf, not dumb. So right away, we couldn't get results. I said, put them to one side. I'll take care of them after service. So I prayed for the rest of the folk, and I prayed for the children. They began hearing and talking. Took them back to the deaf and dumb school instantly, deaf and dumb again. Well, I said, it takes somebody with more than I've got. So he took them to a place where this man had a fantastic ministry. And I mean, he was one of the top men at that time. Of course, way outside of Brother Branham. So don't you know, he had them talking and speaking. Back to deaf and dumb school. Back where they are. I think they died. Well, they're going to die that way, I believe. Yet, you know, the doctor told her and him, none of your kids will ever have any hearing and speaking. When she knew she was pregnant, the man was terribly, terribly upset. And he came to me that we would pray. And I prayed. And I said, Clayton, no matter any doctor tells you or anybody tells you, I'm telling you, I know this child, boy or girl, I don't know, hasn't been reading me, will be perfectly normal. Every doctor said no, I was right, because I heard from God. Now, see, we're not dealing with milk and water this morning. We're not dealing with... Hey, God's going to just answer my prayers. We're dealing with life itself, absolutely life. And life is not intermittent. Normally, and the normal person could not be dead 5 minutes, in other words, not breathing and the brain not swell. You're a goner. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking much deeper than you getting a little healing. Although this does bring the healing. It's much deeper. Your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Basically down from deep in the soul, where your soul catches the Word of God, becoming a conduit for the light that's in the Word, and begins channeling back to your mind as you hold it there. It is no longer a mental word, it is a spiritual word. It is no longer just a normal faith, it becomes a dynamic faith. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel, that's the Word of God in your soul, then the Word of God is manifested in you, and that means you are fulfilling the Scripture, abiding in Him, and His words are abiding in you. And we saw that in Romans 4, 18 to 21, where Abraham effectively stood with the Word of God. He did not stagger. He did not doubt. He did not waver. He was fully persuaded. And that's what James tells us. A double-minded man cannot receive from God. That's what you're looking at. Okay, the fifth paragraph. Then what does that do? From the middle of the heart, which is the soul, there goes forth the living Word feeding every channel. Now, you know something? That's worth having. And as we said, life is not intermittent. Life is flowing. Brother Branham spoke on the little bubbling spring that kept bubbling from the pressure and the force from underneath. What kept this moving? There's something pushing up. Something pushing up. I've known this all my life. I haven't paid heed to it as I should have. And you know it all your lives too as Christians. No matter what comes your way, a little still small voice says, everything is all right. Just stand steady. But you don't listen, do you? Any more than... Well, let's stop doing that. Let's start listening. See? The trouble is we're standing in here with a lot of doubt, trying to accept what's out there. In other words, we know there's something out here, whether it's on the surface of our skin, so to speak, or just underneath our skin, dealing with ourselves, or there's something out here in the material. We're looking at it, and there's something out there that we know is problematical. There is a problem out there. Now, the channel of God is what wants to get rid of that, those words. But remember, he said, there's too much in here that has doubts and fears within it. Too much in there. So therefore now, something is not taking place that you want to take place. But he said, when you get that channel down there, completely full of the Word of God, the true Word of God, then it goes out there and meets it automatically. Now, that's the thing that I've been preaching on every now and then that escapes us. And that is the place of the automatic. The place of the naturalness. You know, we don't have a bit of trouble, in the morning, just throwing the covers back and rolling out of bed. If we got a little back problem, we know just exactly how to do it so we don't bother ourselves. We learn these little things. We know how it is to go in the morning, if you're still drinking coffee, to put the coffee pot on and guzzle your coffee, which is no good for you. Thank God I quit. You notice a nice self-righteous boy up here? pretty well quit. I don't drink this stuff anymore. I don't like the smell anymore. That's good. I'm coming, see? But anyway, you know, all these things are nice and natural. You put your shoes on. You put your tie on. You do this and you do that. So is there in here a naturalness? It's not supposed to be a strain. But we are strained people. And I don't care what the hour we live in is. And I don't care the devil's got a punch against us. Which he has, and he'll do it, we can reckon as true, it doesn't matter. Because we're going to get it anyway. That's what Brother Branham said about Abraham. How do you feel this morning, Sarah? Well, not a bit better. In fact, a little bit worse. Well, he said, it doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? I'm feeling worse. No, he said, it doesn't matter. Well, it's okay, Abraham, I say so. Well, he said, look, I'm 10 years older than you. And I'm still expecting we would have a baby. She said, she could have said, well, I wonder if I married a nut. No, because she was doing what he was doing. She was believing. And then one day, you know, I'm sure she, how do you feel today? Well, you know, man, she said, honestly, I feel a little better. She's receiving strength. Now, she wasn't putting her apples in that basket. But let's face it, God encourages us. He gives us little evidences. You know, let's face it, before we got any vegetables out of our garden, the snow began to melt. We weren't even near planting seeds. Then the ground began to get nice and black and soft. The rains came down. The leaves that were lying there began to rot, decay, make good fertilizer. You know, God encourages people all around. See? That channel became automatic. Okay, on page 16, the fifth one, that word, if you can get everything out of the way, all conscience, and I think he means by conscience, everything that's been compiled in your mind as contrary, or to be dealt with. Ha! Abraham didn't consider his body because it wasn't to be dealt with. Right. God was going to deal with it. And God's cure was, you know what God's cure was? The same thing you and I are going to get. Abraham was not rejuvenated per se. That cannot happen. He literally had a resurrection while walking on earth, is what he really did. That's what we're going to have too. A little resurrection while we're walking earth. Now, everything out of all senses, and just let the word come in. Okay, now, we're going to start over here on page 17 and 3, and we're going to read the last sentence where we left off. Brother Branham is talking of this same word that we're talking about this morning, having read this, and he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word cannot pass away. In other words, no matter how cataclysmic everything looks, how terribly out of proportion, out of line, how wrong, how bad, the word of God's going to prevail. Now listen, here's what he said about this word that can't pass away. There's nothing wrong with the word. It's wonderful. It's perfect. The vessel must adapt to the word, right? That's what you're looking at. The spirit of man must adapt to the spirit of God. Okay. This word, and here's the battle, must be accepted in the mind. Then it is believed with the heart. Then the word of God becomes reality. Then every sense of the soul and body is just scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Now this tells us the sequence, exactly what is to happen and how it happens. So, when you're told this, and of course this is simple, what I read is not so simple. And they say, now listen, there's a very certain way that you make marshmallows. You can't make it any other way. If you make it any other way, they'll go gritty, or they'll get hard, they'll be soft and delicious and spongy and just the way you like marshmallows. I hate bought marshmallows. It'll make them right. Hard and yucky. Homemade marshmallows made right are delicious. But there's a trick to it. You simply gotta pour that hot syrup into the egg white just exactly right. And you put it in the pan right. And then, of course, you cover it with nicely browned coconut. And it's great. Now, you're interested in that, aren't you? You feel the saliva flowing, the juices. Yeah, this can be applied to the Word of God. Because you can learn to make good marshmallows. You can learn to make those 1,200 calorie bite delicious desserts. They're available. I read about them. That's about all to do. The word must be accepted in the mind. Now, you see, right away the mind goes, chung. Problems. And the heart wonders just what it's going to get now thrown at it. You got to believe this is the Word of God. Now, anybody today in our midst knows that we believe what we believe and why we believe it. Someone might say, well, Brother Vail, you see, the thing is we don't have to have that. Fine, I'm glad you don't. No problem, me. No problem, no. I'm glad you don't. Go your way. I'm going mine. See? The Word must be accepted in the mind. Now, to accept means this. It is not rejected. It is not allowed to come in partway. It means that this is your authority. Well, we can sit and think that one over for a while, can't we? Draw a deep breath. This does not allow anything to take from it or add to it. It brooks no opposition. For you to defame it, let's draw that back. For you to criticize or to judge it is to defame it. And you become a fool in the eyes of God. You become a sophist in your own eyes. You have puffed up yourself against the Almighty. Literally, you have taken the place of God. Because you become God to yourself. What church can offer you that? Our church has the Word of God. Our great ministers. Ha! I wouldn't spit on one of them. Take my time for such arrogance and rascality in the face of a word of Almighty God. It's a living word. Especially in this hour. If God was not in William Branham, who was? I'll likely die for what I'm saying. But I've had a good feeling about it recently. No problem. I may have problems, God doesn't. I saw him back his word time after time in that man. You say, well, he's dead. So what? Moses was dead. And three men saw him transfigured on Mount Transfiguration. And you believe that? And then deny this? You don't believe that at all. You're lying to me. And if I don't, look it, I'm lying too. You joined the Liars Club. I wonder. Romans, if I can find it. A lot of things I can't find. Trouble with people is Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. They had the 66 books of the Old Testament, every single one, and believed them from kibber to kibber, and what was on the kibbers also. You people know something? You don't know this, but on this you studied history and know it to be true. And I can prove by modern history what I'm talking about. Though some of those old-time Jewish rabbis that knew the Bible could quote you letter perfect the first five books and all of Isaiah and all of the Psalms. And there is a guy in Calgary, Alberta, a Jew, who could do it, and he wasn't a rabbi. How much can you quote this morning sitting there? Ha! You can't quote the 119th Psalm any more than I can. Don't tell me they didn't have it. But they didn't have the right understanding of it. 1 people in 1 place with 1 word didn't get it right. Now, we are 400 and some denominations, if not 700, scattered worldwide, and we got it right. Hogwash. I never heard such drivel. And I'll be honest, I'm of the opinion that if God couldn't send a man in this day to change us and to turn us, his own word is a lie and a fallacy, and God just had a pipe dream himself, which he couldn't fulfill because he said he would send Elijah to turn our hearts back and get us right and ready. Amen. Now, where's Elijah? For being ignorant of God's righteousness. How could they be? with the Pentateuch and going about to establish their own righteousness. What does that mean? Well, come on. Here's a piece of machinery. What's the right way to put these cogs together? What's the right way to get the gears meshing? Well, you see, that machine was made with the blueprint in mind. So now you got to go by the blueprint. You need an understanding. Okay. Now you're going about to establish your own understanding. That means that you're looking at everything that's there and you're saying, well, hey now, you're trying to figure it. And what if it's not in you to figure it? Well, brother, there will elect somebody. You've got to be crazy. You ain't got the brains to elect anybody because you don't know who'd be right. They going about to establish their own righteousness, their own understanding of what is correct and acceptable to God, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Who said so? Where's the authority that came on the scene? Jesus the Christ. And they safely tucked him away in death, so they thought. But he rose again and anointed a man called Paul. And Paul is talking about Paul himself. You know that? William Branham came on the scene and would say, oh, that couldn't be. And yet you read Isaiah. What makes you think you believe Isaiah? Fact. Or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. What makes you think you believe any? You don't believe any. You're lying right in your teeth. Every one of us. Because we simply will not say, God, how did you do it? How did you ever do it? And how will you do it again? And William Branham came with the answer, God anointing a prophet. And they said, well, he didn't come out of our church. Thank God he never came out of the church I came out of. Wouldn't have time to spit on him either. I was tough with Brother Branham. I told him right to his face. I said, Brother Branham, I wouldn't walk across the street to see you raise the dead except to know the kind of man you are. There's something there that way beyond ever raising any dead or anything else. Because therein lay the life. If you listen to any man, that's what I was told. You listen to this one. So, well, Brother Vail, that's for you. Well, you don't have to listen. I'm just telling you about myself. I'm just warning you right here. It must be accepted by the mind. How do you know what you're accepting? A church that didn't used to believe in healing and now believes in it? Well, see, we made a mistake there. Look at the churches that now believe in speaking in tongues. I spoke in tongues when I was 20 years old. I'm not ashamed of it. Positively was a great, wonderful, marvelous thing. And I'm ashamed of the fact I don't do it now. Because I could speak in tongues to myself and pray to Almighty God and be perfectly legitimate. And every one of you could be in your seats today if you had a gift of tongues. I don't know what you got. That's up to you and God. And you could be speaking under your breath to Almighty God. Perfectly legitimate. I'm not against these things. But how come every Protestant church and every other church in the world today is endorsing tongues in a measure? Ah, if they are wrong all these years in that one point, does that make them suddenly right now in all the other points? Where was their anointed so-called Holy Ghost? In the Methodist. Yes. They're the ones that blasphemed the Holy Ghost. As I told you, it wasn't the other churches that did it. They didn't even give a rip. Just like today, they don't even know we're alive, and who cares? I'm just as glad. It must be accepted in the mind. I say this, what is your mind accepting? Is your mind accepting your old thoughts? When the word of life's been presented, that's the first thing I had to learn in this ministry. That's why I'm such a tough, strong teacher and a hard teacher. I learned the hard way. I knew I was not hearing Brother Branham according to Brother Branham's thinking. I was hearing Brother Branham according to my thinking, and my thinking stunk. I was wrong. What are you accepting this morning? Because you see, what you accept then, it goes down to your heart where you believe. If you make a committal. Now, if you sit on the fence and say, well, Brother Bill, I really don't know that I believe it that way. Well, fine, you ain't got no committals. That's good, good, good. Come to the place where you get a committal. A lot of folks say, I believe the presence. They don't bother to preach it. They don't believe the presence. Hogwash. If you really believe that Elohim came down here, reflected his glory so a camera could catch it, dignified a man, so that man's words couldn't fail. Brought the message. Is here putting the church in order and heads it. To raise the dead, to change you and get you away. And you're not excited about that. You don't believe the presence. You haven't got a clue. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. My God, when my sister baked a caramel pie, I salivated like a dog. When you ring a bell and put steaks of prime beef under his nose. And this is your redemption and you can't salivate, so to speak. Did you lie there inert and you're dead? Well, if this church has got a spirit, and that's a false one, you've got a good one, because I tell you, we survive and we thrive on it. It must be accepted. That means irrevocable. In spite of, then it's believed in the heart. Then the Word of God becomes a reality. Then every sense, and only then, every sense of the soul and the body is scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's our trouble, and that's where the fight is. And the fight lies right in the mind. Can I take this? Is that really? That's a tough one. I've never seen God. I really haven't. I've had visions. I can't prove they come from God. Look, how am I going to prove a vision comes from God? Well, you say, it came to pass. Come on. That's just part of it. That's not the whole of it. Sure, my visions have come to pass. I make no bones about it. I saw this mighty second coming years ago, and I was 22 years of age, less than that, younger than that. I saw that one come down to earth with his foot on land and see, you bet I did. And you know what it looked like in the vision? It looked like a man, but I couldn't prove it was a man. The beautiful colors and all were there. And let my fist represent the earth. Here's what he looked like. Standing on that earth. Footstool. I didn't know it presaged what we'd see in this day. 1903 down the road. Where you have the visitation where he would come to set himself head of the church of the universities, all of it. Look at it. How far do you get, saying, I'm absolutely convinced. Well, you see, I'm convinced. I don't know how absolute, but the thing is, I believe that. Well, fine, just keep working on it. Because you see, what's got to come is from here down to here and then back. Looks like we're back to this one paragraph method again per sermon. That's got to go. All right. It must be accepted in the mind. That would be the word of the hour and the word of your healing, the word of deliverance, the word of anything. Remember, it goes from the whole to the part and from the part to the whole. There can be no difference. It's one. Then it's believed in the heart. That's down the soul. Then at that point, the word becomes a reality. See, from there to here now. Then every sense of soul and body is just scoured out with the Holy Spirit. Then your sense is of God. You're conscious of God. Everything that's godly flows through you. There's no doubt anywhere. There's nothing can rise up. There's nothing can come to your memory and say, well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God, and Miss So-and-so, Miss Doe tried to trust God any one time, and she failed. See,
But if that channel's been cleared out and been purged and been filled on the inside with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't even come to memory. Isn't that marvelous? I just got rid of that miserable part of me that wants to bring something up to catch me from getting this wonderful promise. No, we're over the top. No matter about Miss Jones, what she did. It's you and God together. And nobody else but you two. Remember that was in perfect faith? The King of God is just one to one. There you are. There's your battle. Okay. Then your senses, is of God, your conscience, everything else. In other words, what we're looking at here, where this word starts in our mind and gets down and comes back. Because remember, what comes down must come up. We always say, what goes up must come down. That is not true. It's what comes down must go up. See, everything is backward, right? Oh, now you're getting places. This is word inspired and word dynamized, and we become word manifest, maybe not recognized by the world, but by God. We become manifest Christians before God. Why? Because we are the ones who bring the word in and down and then take it back. Well, listen, that's very easy to understand. God said to Abel, kill little sheep, sprinkle the blood, and you go ahead, and that's the worship, I'll honor it. So, what does he do? He just simply takes the word of God that came down, he offers it back to God, and the fire hits it. Now, that's what we're looking at. Now, to simplify it is the way to go. You follow me? Simplification is the answer to your and my problem. Yes, that's the trouble. The whole trouble, we have not simplified this word where it belongs in our lives. We haven't simplified it. We're trying to look for too many ramifications. Now, when this happens, that our mind accepts it, the heart accepts it, it becomes very real, everything else becomes unreal by the Holy Ghost. These people are now spiritually one with the Word and from and by the Word. Because it came from the Word, it came by the Word, so therefore you're one with the Word. Well, look, you're a Democrat. Vote the ticket. Hallelujah. Everything the Democrats say is go, go, go. Sure is. It's gone, gone, gone. Well, that's the people, aren't they? The little smarter ones vote the individual, but they still vote Democratic ticket to a degree, but they vote individual. So they can go back and forth Democrat and Republican. What's a smart man do? He votes God. Politics is politics. God is God. You see what I'm trying to show you here? Okay. We're looking at this. So you become one with the Word, from the Word, by the Word. It becomes all of God. No longer then it is we who are doing it. It is God who is doing it by the life and the Word. Now notice, it's very important to see this. It is seen here that the mind can turn our spirits spiritual, our minds doing this, have the power to turn our spirits spiritual. Because remember, the spirit is allowed of God, but it is not of God. It is simply a spirit given you. I don't understand too much about that, but there it is. But it's no longer carnal. It has become spiritual. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and we read this before, lets you understand the spiritual process. In verse 14, he's talking of Moses, the Israelites under Moses, and Paul knows those Israelites right today as Moses and Christ knew them, and they're still in existence. Their minds are blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ, which means what? They interpreted and still interpret the Scripture wrong, which Scripture was interpreted right when Jesus came in the flesh. Now, what about the time he's supposed to come to the Gentiles in the Holy Ghost? Now you got it. Now, if you don't open your mind up, you're shot. Now, I'm reading the Bible to you. Shall Brother Vail you interpret it your way? No, tell me what Brother Brand said. Even to this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. Why? Because it's on the mind. Because what's blotted in the mind is blotted in the heart. What's true in the mind will be true in the heart. Now, you people don't need to worry. I don't need to worry. If I'm giving us true word, and I've got true word, our minds are taking it, we are secure and safe. Don't you fuss, and don't you fret, and don't you doubt, and don't you have crazy ideas. Just settle right down and say, praise God, hallelujah. I had a job with Brother Branham. I had to keep my own thoughts. Too many of my own ideas. So I learned to get rid of them. Nevertheless, now watch, nevertheless, when it, the mind, then consequently the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil taken away. What's got to turn first? The mind. The mind has to turn first, then the heart. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty so that you can change your mind. And Brother Branham brings it out shortly where he talks of the Holy Spirit standing guard at your mind. I don't think I'll get that far this morning, so I've got to throw it in now. But we all with open face, no more veils upon the mind. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, God tells us right here in this hour, we are going to get transformed through this process, and that is what Paul says in Romans, the 12th chapter, you are transformed or transfigured, you are changed to immortality by the renewing of the mind. You get a new mind, which is the mind of Christ. And Paul is speaking of that as he's teaching the thoughts and the words of God to the Corinthians, how it comes in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, we have the mind of Christ. He said, I am the instructor in the thoughts of God that must become your thoughts. Now, Brother Paul said, let's all be of one mind. How can any church, any tiny group, any home, be of one mind unless there's one head? Now think it over. I ask you a question. Who's going to bring us to one mind? Now, be honest with me. Let's be very honest. How naive are you this morning? I ask you a question. It's been on TV for years. Who do you trust? Everything's on TV. Everything spells this hour. Who do you trust this morning? As Brother Man said, you're absolute. Now you're kind of stuck with me, and I'm stuck with the prophet. I take this word by word. If you find any fault with what I'm preaching from this word by word, you come and talk to me. Or if you've got real brass gumption, stand up and defy me. You'll likely get carried out, but that's all right. Because I know my deacons. I know the whole church. See? Now, no matter Miss Jones or anybody else, I'm going to get this because Miss Jones is not to be considered. It is God to be considered, and I'm to be considered with God, not Miss Jones, because I don't know Miss Jones. I don't know her heart. I don't think about her. So she doesn't work this. Now, Brother Branham says concerning this, doubt coming in here where you're going to worry about Miss Jones and Miss Doe, kill him at the beginning. Kill all the thoughts of Miss Doe and Miss Jones. Stop him dead in his tracks. Want to know something? I'll tell you something. Now, this is personal, and this is true. And you know, I think one reason we have a good rapport here is because you know I will not lie to you, and you know I'll spill my guts, even though it hurts at times. So I'm going to tell you something that's kind of not too nice. and it's not bad, though. A lady came to me with a homosexual spirit. And I felt so sorry for her because she did not want to be a homosexual. And I didn't know at that time that women were very perverse, the same as men. And that today is still a thing that I guess it's hard for you to understand. They think males are only homosexual when there's many, many women are in the same boat. And she was a very lovely little woman. Well, I don't know what happened all the way through, but I know I prayed for her in faith, and she was delivered. But the next morning, I woke up, and I knew in my mind I had done a most degraded sexual act, which I knew I hadn't done. But I knew I'd done it, but I knew I hadn't done it. And I thought, merciful God, what's happened to me? And this would be that evil spirit that came out of her. It got attached to my mind. Well, fortunately, I written Brother Branham's office to know his schedule because I wanted to be in a meeting where he was. And they were lovely people, and they answered my letter, and they sent back a prayer cloth. Hadn't asked for it. I said, wow, that's a tremendous, just like the Lord. You ask for potatoes, he gives you potatoes and gravy both, and a dish of ice cream afterwards. Here I got this lovely prayer cloth, and I said, hallelujah. I was tickled with it. So I put it away in my drawer, and I thought, that's great. Well, now, I wake up this morning, and I know that I know, and I don't know. And I'm going nuts. It just takes my mind like, and here's exactly what happened. It's like a monster coming in and stepping in your brain. Choom, 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 pounding your brain down. I didn't talk to my wife. I talked to nobody. I knew what to do. I went and got the prayer cloth. I got on my face before God, my head between my knees, bowed down. I put the prayer cloth on the back of my head, and I said, in Jesus' name. And about 2 hours later, I was delivered. But my mind was fuzzy for some days later. Now, why am I telling you this? Because if a devil can do it, how much more can God do? Cramping our brains down. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're sick, spiritually speaking. And I'm sick. Because God's a million times greater than any of us. And I'm preaching this morning, I do not believe Brother Branham was preaching this message as an exigency. Although there were people there dying, he was preaching it for life and a way of life, which we have not entered into. Why are you people where you are today? I'll tell you why. Because at least once a week you're coming here to talk the word. I don't know anybody else doing it. I talk around the world. I got a phone call from Africa yesterday. They come from cat all phone. My answer is one thing. We stand on this word. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, my brother, my sister, something is going to happen here. And if God doesn't do it, the devil will. Because we are giving ourselves over. Some of you are too scared to give over. That's your trouble. Too legalistic yet. Get over it. There's only two sources, God and the devil. And don't mix the preachers up as who's preaching for whom either. I threw that in, and you can do what you want with it. I know a little bit about Satan. What I know ain't good. I know a little bit about God. What I do know is very good. Tell him. Or at least follow the Chinese proverb. You can't stop the birds from flying through the trees, but you can sure stop them building a nest. Stop them in his tracks. It isn't how long you make the war linger. Oh, I love that because that is so true. We just love to have sympathy. We just love to muddle through. We just love to agonize along. We just love to be kooks. You know why? Because we're scared of those decisions. We're scared to simply stand and be counted. Okay, I'm standing up. You know, David, he wasn't afraid. Brother Branham brings us short in his message here. Why, he said, we give in to that bunch of uncircumcised Philistines? Ha! He said, not this kid. Now, Saul, he said, if you want to be that kind of a guy, that's your business. He said, sure, you're the king, sure, you're the big shot. That's. But he said, don't count me in, because I'm going to get his head. Oh, I love that. Man, that kid had guts. Bear came by to steal his sheep. He said, what's going on here? And he, wham, bam, cut the bear's head off. Hey, that was before Elijah had those bears come out and killed those kids, wasn't it? Boy, they were tough hombres, those guys. One guy killed a bear, and the other guy set bears on somebody. You say, hey, that's hey nothing. Do you know that these people actually lived in the Bible? And they weren't a bunch of mealy-mouthed, weak, water-kneed little mama boys? You know the time Brother Brown told about that guy that he was. They came down from the north, you know, sat in that restaurant, and he said this guy, he just went ahead. He said he sneezed, could you? The fact of the matter is, he didn't sneeze; he burped. I'm not suggesting that. Look, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, look, there's such a thing as just being too nice. Now, there's not such a thing as being too gentle, too kind, too sweet, too bearing, and too forbearing. That's legitimate. I'm talking about this other junk. You haven't got your channels cleaned out, and you don't know real love. For the love of God. Brother Branham brings it out, too. I'm a little ahead, but don't worry, I want to warn you, because we're going to see all the things I've been preaching for years. It's right here. Don't see how long you make the war linger. Stop it right now. If you'll come, you'll keep those memories and conscience and everything you're thinking about. Well, I might fail. I might not be right. Don't you do that at all. You throw aside everything and open up the channel and say, God, your word is eternally true. It's for me. If the whole church fails, if the whole world fails, I can't fail because I'm taking your word. Now, this is not simply to me a one-time decision that solves every case. It's a one-time decision that solves the first case that goes on to the same decision and solves the next case and then becomes a habit, becomes a pattern of existence. This is the sequence that I showed you in Romans, the 5th chapter. Now look, this sequence is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sins are forgiven. God's not mad at you. You're not mad at God. No matter what the devil says, no matter what you feel, God is not mad at you. He cannot be mad at you. The prophet explained, he does not see you at all. He only hears your voice through the blood, and he looks at your representative, Jesus Christ. So there it is. That's why I don't care what you have done or I've done. If we've repented, it's under the blood, it's finished. But then don't start doing it anymore. Time people cut people's throats 4 or 5 times, you realize the fellow's none but a cutthroat. Real repentance says, let's stop it. Okay, you've been justified. What's justified? Being declared righteous. The prophet said, you're the righteous, sinless, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. That's what justification means. By whom? The same one. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What faith? The faith of Abraham. To get the answer. To be like Abraham. Who considered not his own body now dead. Hallelujah. My Lord, that was the thing that he had to overcome. How are you going to have a baby? She's dead and I'm dead, seminally speaking. That's impossible. Now, God's not going to buy step biology. He said, you're going to have this baby by Sarah. That's sexual intercourse. They had plenty of it. Didn't do any good. Now there's a problem, they can't even do that. Who in hope was gone? Don't worry about Hagar anymore. That didn't work anyway, but it wouldn't work now because nothing to work with. This tells me what I go through here to get this. He rejoiced. Sarah laughed. He laughed. They were happy. It's going to happen, but it didn't. But you keep on rejoicing. Not only so, we rejoice in tribulations, the trials that come with their faith. Knowing that tribulation works endurance, makes me strong. By faith, I'm getting stronger, stronger, stronger. And that strength gives me personally character. And the personal character then comes back And hope means earnest expectation. Now, what's happened? It's begun to mount up. The channels that it went down into have been cleansed and begins to rise up now. You're coming right back here that you know that you know. Then what happens? Hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, no failure this time. You think Abraham, though he loved that son Ishmael, was really proud of that moment? Proud that he inseminated her? Oh yeah, he's a man, but his wife isn't a woman. Oh sure. And here's the boy. The boy was a mess and still a mess. See what happens when you go off of your own senses, your own channels? She said, look, I can't have a baby, but I know it's pretty well you could be able to have one by her, so take her. That was ordained, all right. God said the same thing to Adam. He said, you're going to leave me for her. And he did. Now, the word of God's very plain today how we're going to get here. You're going to turn it down or we're going to take it. Now, this is going to mean everybody's got to work on it. I've got to go back to working on it like I did years ago, praying for the sick. And you know what? I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to go back praying for sick like I did years ago. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to worry about discernment. I'm not going to worry about pushing my faith. I'm not going to worry about any of those things at all. My concern is going to be this here. Right. Your concern too. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Now what do you got? You've got this marvelous love that can only come by the experience of tragedy and the experience of waiting, the experience of of thoughts, maybe I might fail, all those things, but you stand right there with the Word. I did that on the road as a minister. I had to face it 100% completely. No gimmicks, no word, no nothing, but to stand there. And the beautiful thing was, I did it in spite of the preachers. Hallelujah. I have not much use for preachers, period. I'm sorry. I'll be honest with you. I'm not against them. I'm not saying they're not real. I'll say this. I just say myself. Who needs them? In this sense, I got to stand alone. God taught me way back there, you got to stand alone. I got to stand today. You as individuals got to do the same thing. It's the only way you're going to make it, brother, sister. I can't tell you another story because there's no story to tell. This is the gospel story. Notice the sequence. Notice what Brother Branham said. It is 100% with the Word of God. He's not telling you one lie. There's the battle. That's the thing. To take the Word and kill every adverse thought thereby, no matter where it comes from or how it comes. Just kill it. You know? We're a little bit too much like the story of the snake was lying pretty well frozen on a desert path. And a man came by and the snake said, sir, he said, I'm freezing down here. Could you put me in your bosom, warm me up? The man said, no. He said, you're a snake. He said, there's no way, no way. He said, I'll pick you up because you'd bite me. He said, oh, no, there's no way. He said, I'm truly a snake, but I'm a converted snake. He said, I wouldn't bite anybody once I made a promise. But he said, I'm so cold and miserable. If you just put me in your bosom, honestly, I even swear that I will not do it. So the guy, he got suckered in. He put in bosom, and the snake said, now I'm going to bite you. He said, hold it. You said you, but he said, you forgot. I'm a snake. Now there's your thoughts. You thought that you could have good thoughts. The Bible says you cannot have good thoughts. How you being evil can think good thoughts? The Word of God says so. Yeah. Well, if there's nothing in me worth a plug nickel, and this is a clue to the decision, then why bother with it? That's exactly right. Close the book. And you'll find Brother Brown explain what's exactly right with what is not exactly right. In other words, brother, sister, that's a shoe, right? Try using it for a glove. Try to pick up something with a shoe. I can put a glove on my foot better than I can put a shoe on my hand. Both are wrong. I like eating peas with a knife. They do that as a trick, eating with a fork or spoon. This is what I'm talking about. It's that simple. Now listen, there's the battle, there's the thing. Now listen to what Brother Banner, now he's talking to a little girl here that's dying of cancer. Leukemia, something for all I know. Why would the Almighty God remove a cancer from a woman's breast without a scar and let the girl, little child, lie there and die? No, sir. Now, just recently, Brother Branham went to visit, before this sermon, a woman dying of breast cancer, completely gone, must have an operation, suddenly, prayer, not a sign. No scar, no nothing. I've seen that happen too with cancer. Now, he talks, a little while ago, from the high school, little girl, mother called and said, Brother Branham, my girl's got Hodgkin's disease. You know, that's lymphatic cancer. Cancer forms in lumps, he says. The doctor took a piece from a breaker in his throat, took it away, sent it away, Hodgkin's disease. That's what it was. So he said, the doctor, the next time one breaks over her heart, may break her heart, and then she's gone. That's the way they break, and she could live 3 months. The mother said, what'll I do? Send her back to school? He said, yeah. Let her go because she'll die suddenly. Let her live a normal life as best she can. Don't tell her a thing about it. The lady said to me, Brother Brown speaking, the lady said to him, what must he do? I said, bring her up and put her in the prayer line. And I said, you come with her. And I felt a little funny feeling about the mother. Well, the girl came by that morning, blue-looking lips from makeup, as the school has them then. They still have it today, that makeup and junk. Little thing came by. I didn't know who she was. She was going to call me on the phone to let me know, but she didn't. I took hold of her hand and I said, good morning, sister. There she was. That was she. Just in a few moments, I looked to her mother and saw them both without God, without Christ, and said, how can you expect healing on these grounds? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I said, will you come to this pool here and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remission of sins? And they said, we'll do that. Oh, you know what happened. The woman may be sitting here this morning. Many of you may know the case. Brother Mike Egan, one of the trustees here, watched the case. That's 4 or 5 years ago. Little girl was taken back to the doctor. Not even a trace of Hodgkin's disease was found in her. What was the matter? You, and he's talking to sinners, you had to open the channel first. Because many people in the building were full of the Holy Ghost or somewhere. Now he's talking to those that weren't filled. Why? Because healing is the children's bread. Anybody can be healed, that's true. But children own it. It is theirs without obligation. It is free. The others are under debt to God when they get healing apart from being born again. But you see, this would put God under debt to us to heal us if we are born again. Then we should learn how to trust Him, because then we show we love Him if we trust Him. Like Brother Brandis, I said, Brother Brandis, what is then love? He said, Lee, love. He said, you ever done for Christ what you wouldn't do for any other reason? I said, yes. He said, that's love. We go through trials because we love Him. And they deepen us. Nothing will ever take the... Brother, sister, look, if I had my way, I'd just be hand in glove with the old devil. Because that's what he was with Eve. You tell, let me show you the easy way, the nice way, this way, that way. See the tree, pleasant, look at it. Nice, nice, nice. Oh, look. Jesus himself was a tree that didn't have any looks. He wasn't the kind people could look at and say, isn't that a sweet looking, beautiful looking hunk of a man? You know, history tells us that. History's a lie. I was sucked in by that for years. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can be fooled. All right. Open the channel first. You've got to get the soldier, the Holy Ghost, placed at the front, the battle front, to take God's word. He is the word, and he stands there, and there's nothing going to stop it. There's nothing. Every one of the other channels cleared out. Now, this is the difference between human mind philosophies and Christian science. You must be born again. See? Then you come to Romans 8 and 32, I think it says, for if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? When you receive the Son in the form of the Holy Spirit, then all things are yours. So, he's seeing here now, the great one himself, the Holy Spirit, must be there to help you with this word. And that's what his purpose is in coming. So, we go to John chapter 14. And we read it. How many minutes left? 10 minutes. Okay, we'll just close right away. Because, let's face it, time is gone. And time is gone. John 14, I beg your pardon, wrong chapter. John 14:16 beginning. And I'll pray the Father, He'll send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Notice, the Spirit of truth, nothing but the truth will He accept. Nothing but the truth will He deal in. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. How are you going to see a spirit when it manifests to mankind? Neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a while the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you live also. At that day you'll know I am in the Father, and you and me and I in you. Pentecost. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. In other words, you go through what we have set forth here in the Word. It shows your love. How do you know you love Him? Because you got a great feeling. That's wonderful. Praise God for happy, good feelings toward the Lord of just love, love, love. But how come those same people with that same spirit will turn on a vindicated word? That's what I've been preaching for years. What's wrong? It isn't the real love. It's a phony love. The Bible speaks, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, who was the first lousy hypocrite? Tell me. Cain. If you haven't got it, you know now. The first hypocrite. He was. Pretend to worship and love God. And came so nice with his pretty flowers. Hated the revelation, killed his brother. Judas gave Jesus a warm, friendly, loving kiss. The Bible says so. Affection is the word. He had an affection. But he simply knew Jesus was wrong. Here's a nice man with lots of power. And there's nobody like him, but he's wrong. Who got in Judas' heart to make that right, that statement? The devil. Someday, brother, sister, we'll really know what we're talking about. Man love me? Jesus said, if man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we'll come unto him and make our abode. Now it says right here, you'll love that word. Did Cain love the word? Did Abel love the word? What happened to little Eve? She didn't love the word. Couldn't keep it. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Abide in me, my word in you. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have spoken to him, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, even from your subconscious. What's your sin in you? This is what I rely on as a minister teaching. Hundreds of times today, by date, I think it's in the hundreds by now. It's many, many times anyway. This has been proven correct. I've said many, many things, not knowing Brother Branham said them. They were down in the subconscious, having heard them, having read them. Same with you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give in you. Not as the world given to you. Let John chapter 12 leave, let it be afraid. All right. With that, John 16 and verse 12. I have many things said to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. He shall not speak for himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Oh boy, that's a good one right there. What about the great ministry spoken of? Someone's going to have it, huh? What about it? John 14:12. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. That's it. What's the Holy Spirit to do? Tells you. Okay, now, we've got time for just this one point. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said. Now, listen carefully what's going to happen, what happens to me life. Just like an old boiler with the flue stopped up. That's the chimney. Like an old furnace, boiler type. You put a fire in it with the flue all gummed up, the furnace will blow up. That's what's the matter with so many blown up Christians, is because they don't clean the channels out. They don't go down to the inside. They don't get justified, baptized full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to clean it so that conscience, memory, thoughts, and remember this is the process of the Word now, past baptism, laying aside everything and coming from the inside out with that unadulterated, that's the true meaning of the Word of God, that it's the truth. No matter 10,000 died on this side trusting today and 10 on that side tomorrow, has nothing to do with me. I'm the individual. I'm the one that's trusting now. I'm the one that believes it. Now, he's talking about you as an individual, me as an individual. Okay, he said, now you got to get the flu all cleaned out or it'll plumb blow up. Now, we know right off the bat, greater is he that's in me than I am myself. Greater is he that's in me than that's in the world. Through him I can do anything, so therefore I can believe anything. Now, his love's in me, it's building up. Love believes all things. What all things? All things of God. So I'm a candidate for this great life that I can have, and positively I can have it. And I'm going to have it. Because this is especially the hour for it. Okay, now, this is not simply sanctified living the man is talking about. This is the life of controlled thinking and a control by the Holy Ghost, the Word living and coming from the inside. Now, he said, that's what's the matter. What's why so many Christians blow up. They don't have the flu cleaned out. Now, we'll try to hit that just a second here. Over in the book of Matthew, I think it is, Matthew 9, and I think it's verse 7, yeah, 70. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles. This message doesn't go into people that aren't born again. Else the bottles break, the flu blows, the whole thing blows up, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine, new bottles, and both are preserved. Now that is a true statement concerning humanity, my brother, my sister. Don't fool with this message and don't play around. Now let's go further and show what this is also. We go to 2 Timothy, and we go to the second chapter, and we read 13 to 16. If we believe not, oh, we see second chapter, yeah, second chapter. Okay, if we believe not, he abideth faithfully, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put in remembrance, charge them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. Now, you can strive with words to profit. You bet you can. But to the subverting of hearers. You don't want that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, as the prophet is teaching us here, we don't have time for anything but the unadulterated, proven, vindicated word of God for this hour. Don't get worried about what other people say. Don't worry about this preacher, that other guy. Get to this word and make it the source of your life. Now, with this, 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll get you out of here. Eventually. The 10th verse, I think. Yeah. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without a punch. You're significant. Now, what's a significant voice? Word of God. You want to be a significant person? Everybody does. Everybody should be. Significant. How do you become significant? This way. Don't worry about anything else, Brother Sister. We got no time for it. Look, if we are right in our thesis in this place here, the Word of God is going to do it. Don't be afraid to take it. Never mind what your problems are. You're not going to do anything about it anyway. It's the Word of God releasing its life. So get the Word in there. Look, if you are missing magnesium, you can take all the aspirin you want. You can take all the pep pills you want. You can take all the calcium you want. You can take the zinc. And you can take the chromium, which is hard to get, and the selenium. But if you don't get magnesium, you're out of luck. And I don't care what you take. If you don't take the Word of God, you're out of luck. And you can read what Claude Bristol says, and what this man says, and what Lee Dale says, and what that guy, and somebody else, and everybody else, and take the whole word. And they're all significant. They all are something there. If you don't take this, and we don't take the Word of God, and let it go down there, and steam and percolate, getting red hot, till it bubbles over. Well, we're just missing something, brother, sister, that's all. And notice again, he said, I'm the one that's trusting. Back to one-to-one confrontation. The same as Adam was with God. When Adam came right, Adam, God came right to Adam, and he said, Adam, listen to me. He said, here is what it's all about with you and me. And then when he brought his wife to him, he said, this is what it is. You're going to leave her for me. What did Adam do? He blew it. You know why? Free moral agency. You and I can blow it this morning, brother. Let's be honest. Come on, I'm not going to kid myself. I can preach up here and be a castaway. In other words, disapproved of it. So God can say, Levi, what do you... You preach the truth down there. You're bold as a lion. You stood right up there and you were 100% right. But then, like a... Why did you back away from it and not apply it in your own life? Be you hearers of the word, doers of the word, not hearers only. If a man teaches something and doesn't do it himself, he ain't got much confidence in it. I'll admit my trouble is I'm lazy. You better pray for me. I've slowed down. 30 years ago on the road is a different story. 30 years ago, we were more virile, more ready to punch. Today, it's more lukewarm. Well, the prophet came. The prophet went, yeah, yeah, it was nice, but you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lazy dogs, that's all. Lazy bones sitting in the sun. When are you ever going to get your day's work done? As old Amy used to sing, he said, you can't go to heaven on roller skates, you'll roll right by them pearly gates. You can't go to heaven in a rocking chair because the Lord don't want any lazy folk there. Let's rise and be dismissed. Kind Heavenly Father, we know that the mind has not been used, the brain itself has not been used even to 20%. Oh God, this morning we hate to admit it, but yet we're glad to admit it. The Word of God hasn't been used 20%. We know that. Lord, we don't want to make a bargain with you and say, Father, if we can't be 100% Christian, maybe we could be 40% or 50%, a whole lot better than we are. But Father, we're not going to make anything like that come from our lips. We're just going to say this one thing, Lord, and that is this, that we admit, Father, this morning that we need the repentance, we need the rebuke, we need the chastisement. We need all of this, Lord, so that we can begin to line up more with your word. As David said, to hide it deep down in our hearts, but not cover it over. But let it simmer, Lord. Let it just be added to, and let it be aggrandized. Let it be multiplied until it's been coming right through those channels into the life, Lord, that you want of us, and down in our hearts we want also. We know, Lord, that there's a big decision going on. How bad do we want it? How badly do we want it? And Lord, that's this Laodicean problem we've all got this morning. We don't want it bad enough. I'm sure that's the whole thing. It's just, let me get by Monday morning till Friday night and I'll take the weekend off. I know we don't mean to be that way, Lord, and I know there's none of us want to be that way, and I know really we are not that way. It is just that we are tricked of the devil. We have been fooled consistently, and we want to get shook of that now. I cannot look back upon past glories, Lord, which you've lent in my life, which are very, very few, and I appreciate them. And I cannot look back upon past glories of Brother Branham, which were tremendous and multitudinous, and I appreciate them too. I can look at the word today, though, the prophet said, giving us, let it come into our minds, into our hearts, deep into our souls, and let it come back through the same channels, and